It's Marketplace Tech for September 30th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. News came on Monday that Apple had sold 13 million of its new iPhones in the space of a weekend. A new record, but guess what? It's old news in the hardware world already. Google, this week, had its own hardware event with plenty of announcements. Our friend Lindsay Turntine at CNET is here to give us the skinny. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Ben.
All right. The company is focusing on two phones and maybe making them a little bit more affordable than some of the alternatives out there.
Yeah. Google has for quite a while been using its Nexus phones as a way in for people who want a smartphone with some interesting features but don't want to pay as much as they would pay for, say, an iPhone. One of them is the Nexus 5X, which is a pretty inexpensive $380 phone that's manufactured by LG. But maybe the more interesting one is the Nexus 6P, which is made by Huawei, the high-end phone. But high-end in this case means just shy of $500 for a 32-gig phone. Compare that to the iPhone, which unlocked starts at $650. It's a big savings from what most consider to be the most premium phone out there.
Are they focusing on certain parts of the phones in terms of where they're really strong?
Google is really leaning into what Google is good at, which is using its software to differentiate. Say, optimize which apps on your phone run in the background more frequently to save battery life. And then Google also really concentrated on the camera. They compared this Nexus 6P camera to the iPhone 6S camera. And this is a little nerdy, but because it uses larger pixels on the sensor, it takes better low-light photos. Of course, in the demo, they looked fantastic.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET.com. Lindsay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
This week, we're talking about art and technology. We've spoken with an artist who wants to use Bitcoin's technology to make sure digital creators get credit for their work, and an artist who used an NSA PowerPoint presentation for inspiration. So how about actually experiencing some new digital art? Well, the other day, I went to a gallery in Manhattan called Bitforms, which plays with the idea of creating in the digital space.
Hey.
Hi, how's it going?
Ben.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
Welcome to Bitforms.
What am I looking at here?
The piece you're looking at is by Mexican-Canadian artist Rafael Lozano Hemmer.
There's a bunch of faces on the screen.
The faces that you were describing are all students from the Iguala School in Mexico that were kidnapped. It's an interactive work.
Okay.
And
so if I stand on these feet marks, what happens next?
There's
also a camera looking at me. Oh, wow, there's my face. What do I do now?
You stand in front of the camera. It's a facial tracking software that is going to match your facial characteristics with one of the students. And you can see there are little bars moving that are kind of creating algorithms and generating information that will show your similarity to one of the students. But the piece is trying to find them. It's called Level of Confidence, and it's this idea that the piece is designed to fail because we know the students were likely murdered. Poetic, at least to me.
All right, let's go further in.
Okay.
What are we looking at?
The piece is by Angela Washko. The series is called Free Will Mode, and what you're seeing are avatars from the game The Sims, which was made in the early 2000s. Placed in life-threatening situations, say a room without walls, a pool with no ladder to get out of it, and the Sims are kind of just stuck in these architectural
anomalies,
catastrophes. She sets up the structure and then lets them go. There's a free will mode within the game where the avatars will kind of do what they want. They'll eat when they're hungry, and she takes certain aspects away from them, which makes it tricky. But they will eventually die. Okay, this sim is on fire now, and you'll see them die.
Perfect.
Wow. Yeah.
Someone just died.
So.
Or some sim just died.
Some sim. It's not so much necessarily about the sim character dying or being in pain, but it is this kind of way of relating to
what we experience and how we experience our own free will and things like that.
Chris Romero, he's an independent curator, and he's giving us a tour of the Bitforms Gallery and the show Memory Burn. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a big week already for Mars news. There's apparently real water flowing on the red planet. This weekend, a big budget movie called The Martian hits theaters. The film is based on a bestseller with the same title. It's the story of an astronaut who gets marooned and has to use his science and engineering knowledge to survive. The book is loved by tech and space nerds. It's written by one, too. My Marketplace pal and senior tech correspondent Molly Wood talked to author Andy Weir and asked him about the biggest plot point that moved his fact-based fiction into fantasy.
The biggest deviation from reality is the sandstorm at the beginning of the book. In reality, Mars's atmosphere is about 0.5% of Earth's atmospheric density on the surface. So a sandstorm on Mars, 150-kilometer-an-hour storm, which they do get on Mars, wouldn't damage anything. It would feel like a 1-kilometer-an-hour breeze on Earth. It'd be like somebody blowing at you. But I had an alternate beginning in mind where they're doing an engine test and it explodes and it causes all the problems, but it just wasn't as interesting. And in a man-versus-nature story, I wanted nature to get the first punch in.
Author Andy Weir talking about The Martian there. You can find that interview and much more at MarketplaceTech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.